Hello. Sorry, my laptop made a noise. It always does that. Like you just start talking and it cuts in. We've not got that chemistry going. It's very early on a Friday morning. See, it's making more noises. The chemistry is just not there. Hey, and welcome to Esposito, the Espogenesis podcast. I am your host, John. I host you. Welcome. Sit down, have a drink. Try some of the Scudetto. I was going to look up another sci-fi intro for this introduction to this episode of the podcast, but I couldn't be bothered. Farscape and Star Trek and Star Wars. Was it Star Wars? I don't remember. They're great, but there's basically no other good ones. If you can think of a good one, I'd love to hear it. Send your suggestions into, I don't remember what our email address is. There's a contact form on the website, though, so use that or whatever. Thanks very much for joining us for more Esposito action. This week, you get the thrill of, if you've ever watched Critical Role and, they have those episodes where they come against a door and that's all they can manage to get through. This is a bit like that, but there's not even a physical impediment in this one. They just take a really long time. I'll let you listen to it, but it's great. They get stumped by not a door. So there you go. Enjoy the episode. Don't forget to leave us a rating or a review if you like, or share it with your friends on social medias and whatnot. Peace out.
After nearly an hour of false starts, I'm just going to do a quick recap. Right, so you made your way through the rift, mercilessly slaughtering a space shark called Desire, and emerged from the other side. Seeing an enormous planet, pockmarked and cratered, you detected some small Zamaron fighters, and after a bit of scanning and searching, you discovered what could be the entrance to a Zamaron colony under the planet's surface. You said this is important. You sent Beltrov, Darren, and Dr. Rich back through the rift with the HMS Dendu ship so that they can relay the course should you not make it. You made your way down to the entrance that you'd found, avoiding some gun turrets with an EMP attack of some sort. You entered a tunnel and, avoiding a branching off tunnel, continued down and found yourself in a large chamber full of workers, Zamarons. But they were busying away on a central column. They didn't seem to pay you any attention. You can also make out a Zamaran Centurion and two soldiers patrolling the base of the chamber. There are a number of other tunnels leading out of this space. There's one tunnel opposite you that's about 60 feet off the chamber floor. There's one tunnel that would be directly below you, about 45 feet off the chamber floor. This is a big tunnel, which you are currently in because you lowered yourselves down. There's a tunnel at 10 o'clock that's about 15 foot off the floor, one at 5 o'clock that's about 15 foot off the floor, and there's a tunnel in the chamber floor that goes off at a downward slope. So you lowered yourselves into the largest tunnel, the one that's directly below you. Todd fell some of the way and hurt himself, but doesn't seem to have provoked any reaction from the guards, although the workers, they moved away from where you were. So the tunnel that you're in is huge, and it stretches in more or less a straight line, about 800 feet towards a large metal door that you can see in the distance. The rock is more neatly tunneled here than the other chambers you've seen, and there's a couple of grooves that run across the floor and up the walls, creating segments to the tunnel. So that's where you are. That's what you're at. I did say I would give you the hit points for Jimmo and Todd. Todd's at 43 hit points out of 65. And Jimmo is at 60 out of 65, having taken a bit of damage from some traps along the way. I don't know who's going to be looking after those two. You've already got the stat blocks, so whoever it is, speak now and forever control Todd and Jimmo.
Bugs is not me.
The guy was Jimmo and Tom was Todd?
Well, I was controlling Todd on the ship, so I can pick him up again.
I was Dr. Rich.
He's not with you anymore.
Thank Christ.
He was useless. Like Dr. Rich.
Dumas has taken a genuine dislike to him.
I mean, he was terrible at computing.
He is a Dendu, so you're naturally going to hate him as a dwarf.
I mean, he looks like Richard Ayoade in my head, and there's nothing you can do to change that.
I'm fine with that. But like Richard Ayoade as a Dendu.
No.
No, just as Richard Ayoade. He's got some sort of disguised self constantly running to disguise himself as Richard Ayoade.
No, he's got some sort of rare, like, recessive genetic disorder that makes him look like Richard Ayoade.
He's a dashing man and a very funny comedian. I don't know what your problem is.
I don't have a single problem. I'm just explaining it in universe.
All right. Richard Ayoade sort of somehow implanted his genes in every race.
Would you be surprised?
What do you think he was doing when he was being a traveler?
There's at least five people in every generation of every species that looks a little bit like him.
Yeah, there's probably like emu out there somewhere. It's a little bit curt, but despite it, it's quite endearing.
Right. So what are you doing?
So this big tunnel, it leads quite far down and it is rather wide, right?
Yeah, it's...
A ship could get through it, or no?
Probably not a ship, no. I'd say it's about 50 foot high and 50 foot wide, and it is circular in shape.
Oh, so not like a semicircle, an actual full...
Oh yeah, like it's a full circle.
Ooh. Should we go down here? It's rather inviting. Like some kind of machine burrowed its way through.
I mean, I've no particular desire to stay where we are.
Sounds like a plan.
It's like a quick look back down the pit, just to the bottom floor. Can we see any kind of form of light or, I don't know, movement?
The whole space is lit very dimly by these little pockets that seem to be attached to this central spire in that larger chamber. Aside from the 15 or so workers that are doing something workery on the central spire, there's one of the larger Zamaron that you've seen before and two of the smaller ones that you faced off against quite frequently.
And they're at the bottom of this tower?
They are at the base, yeah.
Okay. What do we think? Continue down the big tunnel or fight these Zamaron that are guarding something, presumably?
I think we should only engage in combat if we can do it quickly and quietly. I think we're vastly outnumbered here in the middle of the enemy colony. So I think if we reckon we can take them down without too much of a fuss, then that's fine. But I don't want to be creating a ruckus before we get going.
I agree.
No, we know these half bastards on their own, so drawing more attention would be a terrible idea. Shall we continue?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so be careful. I'm getting some real Geiger vibes from this place, so don't put your face near any eggs.
Why would I put my face near any eggs? That would be a stupid thing to do.
Idea. I mean, imagine if you were, say, I don't know, a biologist, and you went to a new world, and you saw a strange snake-like alien creature, and you thought it was cute like puppy, and decided to try and touch it, and then it jumped in your face, and you were surprised when it happened. I hate Prometheus, okay?
I'm not sure that would be the last thing you did.
I'm going to take a quick nod to Jimmo and say, you know what would go really well with your bacon? Eggs. Nice.
Are you saying I should pick up any eggs I find?
No, I'm not saying that. I was just jesting. But eggs would be nice sometimes. Next time we're in a port, just...
Oh, so if we can get some eggs, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because bacon, you know, I love bacon, but every day. Every meal.
I know, it's great.
I don't see a problem with this.
My cholesterol.
Oh yeah, eggs will make that better.
I'm glad we did this.
High scores are better than low scores, that's what I heard. Regarding your cholesterol, I mean, like, a high score is better than a low score.
It'd be nice to have some protein or something, I'm just saying. Like a...
Bacon is protein.
Bacon's made out of... yeah. None of the points you're making are making the points you think they make it.
Are you saying you want extra bacon? Because you're not getting enough protein.
I'm not a space nutritionist, but your argument don't make any sense.
I just want some eggs with my bacon and some toast and some beans and some mushrooms.
That's your carbs right there.
And some tomatoes. Chuck some bloody tomatoes in there.
Can we leave the nutrition to Space Gillian McKeith and please go down this goddamn tunnel?
and the Samael. Quite frankly, it was the consistency of chocolate mousse.
Oh, God.
So you start making your way down this tunnel. Is anyone doing anything in particular, or are you just heading straight on down?
I'm going to do it stealthily.
Okay, roll a stealth check.
Stealth together, friends.
Yeah, I mean, Dumas can very much join in on the stealth, for sure.
I got a 10.
It's pointless, because group stealth checks are pointless, because they're always pointless, but I'll do my best.
Are they pointless?
Group stealth checks.
What was that?
You have feelings about group stealth checks.
Group stealth checks, man. They never work out. 22.
What's the average?
I've got pass without trace, if that helps. Oh, it's too late. I was rolling.
All right, Mike. Say the words.
Oh, it's a podcast. 15.
15. Dumas?
22.
22. Rebook?
22 as well.
Todd?
Oh, that's not a good Todd. That's a 5.
Jimmo?
Now, Centurion armor, off the top of our head, do we know if that's disadvantage for stealth?
Yes, it will have disadvantage.
It's heavy. Okay. 9.
That was an average group stealth check of 11.8. I'll round that up to a 12. You carry on down the tunnel. You cross over the first of these lines that runs through. And as you do that, a small turret just pops down and starts firing at Todd. I'm going to say Todd because he rolled the lowest. Fuck you, Todd.
What's that, Todd?
Oh, no, Todd. Todd takes it could have been worse. Todd takes 6 points of radiant damage as this little laser turret just pops down and blasts away him.
Todd's looking a bit rough.
Alright, well, I mean, you're gonna need to do something. There's a turret that's not stopped firing necessarily.
I fire an L.
Go on.
Oh no, please go ahead.
I was going to say I fire an Eldritch Blast at it, but I don't do that. I fire a Psy Blast at the turret.
Go ahead.
Oh, 16.
That'll hit.
A bit. 6 points of psychic damage.
Okay, it's still going.
I'm going to shoot it with my pistol.
Go for it.
Okay. 22 to hit.
That will also hit.
And it does 6 points of necrotic damage.
And it judders and sparks, and a chunk of it falls down, and it stops firing.
Just as a little future note, I appreciate that took us a little unawares just then, but the firing of pistols and electric whatever he does at the turrets isn't the most stealthy of approaches, so perhaps in future we could try and take out any turrets in a more silent approach.
Sorry, did you refer to me as a he? Dumas, do you think I'm...
You don't have a beard, so I can't really tell.
So you can't tell I'm a lady. Not by my manners or my airs and graces.
No, you have pistols, huh?
Your voice is very off-putting.
Oh, no.
To be fair, gender's a social construct, and he comes from a very different society to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is valid.
I also got punched very hard in the voice box in prison. So,
Cannon happened. I love that someone aimed for your voice box specifically.
So exactly specific.
I mean, really shit Riddick. So rather than the ability to see in the dark, you've got a slightly deeper voice.
So Riddick.
Sorry, so you've successfully evaded my turret trap.
Evaded is a strong word.
You've successfully barreled through my turret trap.
He couldn't say solved for copyright reasons.
Yeah, well...
My turret puzzle.
So, what are you doing? Are you just continuing on down the tunnel?
Does one of us want to scout ahead, considering someone's objections to group stealth checks? not naming names.
I'm not objecting. I'm just saying they rarely go well.
I can try pass without trace if we use this before.
How does that work?
Don't make me read the guide.
It's plus 10 to your stealth checks.
Only on the condition that you call it pass without space.
Nice.
If you cast it on Dumas, he'll have a plus 19 to stealth. So,
holy shit.
So, I mean...
sneaky dwarf.
If you want to cast it on Dumas and you guys just sit here, I'll go finish the mission.
Okay, cool.
Cast it on Dumas and he literally vanishes from your memory.
Automatically succeed. It's any number of creatures. It just says it. Each creature you choose within 30 feet. So, yeah, I'll cast that.
They have to stay within 30 feet of you.
No. Not as far as I understand. And bear in mind, I have like 90% of the time when I base my judgment of Esper powers, I'm relying entirely on my knowledge of D&D.
Mm.
So, I mean, we can check.
That's wise.
If you want. Well, they're all very similar. Unless I can't figure out what it is based on the name.
I mean, it is literally the same name, right?
I've got to be honest, the guys at Esper Genesis really kind of phoned it in with this one.
I mean, Pass
Without
Space would have solved that.
Pass Without Space was a much better option.
You know what I mean? It was staring you in the face.
Also, we can't be trapped by Esper powers and don't leave behind any physical signatures, tracks or traces of our passage.
What you're saying is it's Pass Without a Trace.
Or space in the passage.
No, wait, it was staring them in the space. Ugh, I'm a genius.
That's solid gold. That's what you were looking for right there.
Guys, I'm available. Just pick up that phone. Come on.
Guys, save me from this podcast, please. Seriously.
I honestly don't think they're going to pick up the phone to you. I think, if anything, you're making them more angry.
Yeah, what are you available for? I don't know.
Rich, I'm sorry. Okay. You've successfully cast Space Without a Trace. So, what are you doing?
Stealthing down the tunnel.
I just curl up into a ball and see if anyone can see me.
Okay.
I kick Dumas down the corridor.
Oh, God, it's like that scene from Hook.
No, first you will need to roll a stealth check, and then I'm going to see if HUD can see where Dumas is to kick him. Don't forget Jimmo and Todd.
So we get plus 10 to this?
Yeah.
Plus 10, yeah.
That's 30 for Dora.
Oh.
That's 31 for Rubik and 19 for Todd.
So that is 21 for HUD.
Jimmo and Dumas?
17 for Jimmo.
35 for Dumas.
So collectively, you rolled 22. Probably the most successful group stealth check I've ever encountered. You continue to make your way down this corridor and you cross over the second line that's segmenting it. And a glimmer of an energy field pulls up behind you and ahead of you at the third line. And then you hear this low hiss of air moving quickly.
Monkey gas! Sorry.
Run?
Yeah, I think so.
Is gas something you outrun?
I don't know. We'll discuss it when we've outrun it.
Taurus starts running.
Can you all roll a perception check?
15.
That is a natural one for HUD.
It's a 20 for Dumas.
It's a 19 for Rebook and a 10 for Todd.
So Rebook and Dumas, you listen a little bit closer than everyone else does, and this isn't the sound of air rushing into a room. This is the sound of air leaving a room.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
Worse. Wait, we're all wearing our hazmat suits, aren't we? Our void suits. We put them on when we went down to the surface, didn't we? Because we weren't sure about the atmosphere.
I feel like that's the thing that happened at the end of the episode.
Oh, God, we should really drink less.
No. I mean, yes, but also no.
I mean, I'm not going to enforce that policy, am I?
And that's why we're friends, John.
for a lack of any other understanding, yes. I will say, however, Jimmo and Todd have both been shot. So,
I've been shot too. Crap.
When have you been shot? Did you get shot by the lasers?
We all got shot by the lasers. Crap. Okay.
If you've all been shot by the lasers, your void suits are no longer intact entirely.
I've got the warranty.
It will help, but...
Dora's legging it up the tunnel at this point, by the way.
Against my better judgment, I follow Dora.
Okay. But Dora is still slightly ahead. So Dora gets about 40 feet and then collides with seemingly an energy field and bounces back and takes 3 points of bludgeoning damage.
She's so squishy.
As she lands prone.
I stop just short, and I'm going to start looking for a control panel of some kind.
Okay. Roll an investigation check. Is there any particular way you're looking for this?
I'm going to look around the edge of the wall where it meets the energy field.
Okay.
14.
You can't spot anything immediately that would be a control panel. And as you're looking, you start to hear it. There's a very high-pitched sort of noise that echoes out.
Can I do a mechanics or computers check to work out what's producing the field?
Yes. Yes, you can. Probably be mechanics. This is going to be a physical thing that exists that's emitting them.
Okay. That's cool. I've got two mechanics. There's an 18.
Yeah, you can spot there's about 5 emitters that are probably what's producing this.
So are the emitters on the other side of the field?
Yes, they are.
Are the fields sort of set into the wall?
Yeah, there's no gap.
Right. Are there any wires or anything running towards the emitters?
Not that you can see.
Can I try and shoot at the wall where the field meets it and see if... One, if it shoots away a section of the wall, and two, if it does, if the field then fills that gap, or if it is just static in place. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I'll fire at the wall with my micro cannon.
All right, you don't need to roll to hit. Walls are fairly stationary. Roll damage on it.
Okay. That's 9 points of damage.
9 points of damage. You blow about a 3-foot hole in this wall, and as the dust settles, you can see the glimmer of this energy field filling the space that you created. There is a glimmer across the whole field, but can you all make a constitution saving throw now, as the air is starting to get thinner?
17.
21.
That's a 4 for Rebook and a natural 1 for Todd.
Ooh, Todd.
That's technically a 2.
It's a 19 for Dora and a 9 for our boy Jimmo.
So, Rebook, Todd and Jimmo all take 7 points of damage as they are finding it harder and harder to maintain airflow. Like they're starting to get a little bit dizzy and woozy.
I called Dumas over to come and take a look.
What do you reckon there, bud?
This field's being produced by some transmitters, but they're on the other side of the fields. It looks like they're creating some sort of airtight seal. I've tried firing away around the lip, but I can't get rid of it. It just fills the space. Do you know anything about this? Do you have anything? Can you whip something up that might be able to kind of punch through this thing?
Do I know about this kind of force field, DM?
You can do. Like, it's not going to be beyond your field of understanding.
My force field of understanding?
Your force field of understanding, exactly. Is there anything in particular you want to know about it, or are you just generally asking?
Well, what would be generating, and if there's any weaknesses to a force field such as this?
Okay, weaknesses we can work with. Roll a mechanics check for it, just to understand that.
That's not my skill set.
I always forget that as well.
It's a 7.
You know what? I'll let you do a computer as well, because they're very closely tied.
Well, that's a 21.
Yeah, so you trying to think about the physical capabilities of something like this. You're not quite sure. You don't really understand. Like, that would depend entirely on what the emitters were using as a power source and things like that. But your basic understanding of the design of something like this is, whilst they are capable of filling a space and extending to fill some gaps, that is limited. Basically, the extent to which they can project a force field, like the width of this field and the height of this field, can be limited.
Right, I'm going to try something, and it might hurt. I'm going to step up to the force field.
Do you say that because Dora's going to take a step back from you?
It was no use us all dying. I'm going to try and phase step through it.
Okay.
Hud's going to ready an action to try and catch Dumas if he ends up sort of being bounced back by this thing.
Okay. I'm just going to look at the description of phase step.
It says I can do what I want.
That's not true at all.
He's lying again.
If I had Bernard's watch, I would literally stop time now and edit whatever John's looking at. I'd go to John's and edit it so it said Tom can do what he wants.
God, that would be cool. I'm looking at a PDF of the core manual. You forward space between yourself and a pointed destination within range. You teleport 10 feet to an... It doesn't say anything can stop that. Yeah, you appear 10 foot on the other side of this and take a deep breath of delicious, tasty air.
It's delicious.
And it's tasty.
Okay, and then can I cast the push cantrip at the generators that are creating this?
Yes, you can. So push. Gravity wave lashes out from your hand at a target within range. Make a ranged channeling attack against the target. On a hit, the target takes 3d8 force damage and must make a saving throw, which it can't because it's a machine.
Is that the cantrip? 3d8? Oh, wow, for a cantrip. Oh, is it because I'm higher level?
Oh, no, sorry. I'm looking at a higher version of it.
Yeah, that sounds a lot for a cantrip.
What level are you?
Same as everyone else.
You're level 6. I know that you're level 6. I don't know why I'm saying that.
6, yeah.
Push at level 2. Level 6, sorry. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's 2d8.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
My bad. You can do that.
I sort of phase out of existence and step through the force field, and when I appear, I sort of look up at the force field generators and lift my hand up and just fire a burst of gravitational force energy at one of the generators.
Okay. Roll damage. Roll 2d8 damage on that.
I've now just realised that my Psy Blast should be 2d10 now, and I've been... For the last two levels.
Oh, Dora.
Still rolling a 1d10.
I mean, you should only have changed it at level 5, so...
It's 12 damage using nothing but my hands and the power of my mind.
And it sparks and erupts into a small explosion, at which point the force field flickers and most of it dies. It doesn't completely fade because the other four generators are still working, but there is a good, like, 15-foot gap in it, and...
I'll just fire a cantrip, another one of them.
Yeah. And as this happens, I'm going to say that that just destroys it.
Just assume I keep doing this until the force field goes.
Yeah, let's not play this through step by step. That's fucking dull.
Does it look awesome, though, from the other side of the force field?
Oh, it does. It's crazy. You don't see anything coming out of his hands. You just see him point his hand at something, and it explodes, and a gap appears. And, like, he just does it in quick succession. So it's almost like a dance, like he's on a dance mat of some sort. In an arcade venue of...
Oh, you said it was cool.
Yeah, that is less cool, considerably.
I was having a cool moment here and you just ruined it.
Wait, you say dance mats in arcades aren't cool?
Not when you use your hands. Like, anyone who's using their hands that much above their shoulders on a dance mat
is
really too into it.
Even if they're using their feet, it's not that cool.
Now, what's wrong with being into something, Tom? What's wrong with enjoying yourself? What's wrong with losing yourself in the moment, all right?
Everything, we're British.
That is valid. I can see the point. Good point, well made. But I can see the arrow, not Tom. So as the first emitter explodes, you feel a rush of air coming in and take a deep breath. And it is very relieving as things were starting to get a little bit concerning for you. You also see at the far end of the tunnel, the centurion and the two soldiers that you'd seen before flying towards you. Bear in mind, this has never really come up before, but Zamorin are winged.
I turn around to Dora and say, breathe the free air again, my friend.
I think my fingers would remember themselves better if they grasped my double-bladed sword. And she gets out a double-bladed sword.
We got a company. Oh,
why can I not recall what that is?
Because you're a bad nerd. Right. Yeah, a bad nerd. I'm there.
It's one of the best scenes of film ever.
Yeah, no, I'm there.
We even quoted this the other night.
we've got company, everyone. Seems like we've got a... Hang on. How far away are the... Sorry, I can't break out of this accent quickly. How far away are these Zamorons? Have they definitely seen us? Or are they just coming towards the noise and the electrical failure?
I mean, the tunnel's not long enough for them not to have seen you once they arrived in it. And bear in mind, they weren't unaware of you. They'd looked up at the noise of Todd falling before. They just hadn't reacted, but now they seem to have reacted.
How far away are they?
At the minute, they're about 40 feet, but they are moving fairly quickly.
Can I take a pot shot at the Centurion with a microcannon?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, so that is a 20 non-natural, and that is 12 points of damage, force.
That hit, and 12 points of force damage, okay. You have extra attack, right?
Oh, yeah, I do have an extra attack. You're right, I always forget about that. Fuck's sake.
Level you're looking at the woman in the red dress.
You get that at level 5.
18.
Roll again.
So it's 18 to hit, and that is a 11 points of damage.
Okay, yes, that hits and does 11 points of damage. So you I forgot about a thing. You hoist your arm cannon and you fire two shots in the direction of this Zamorin, and they hit the energy field on the other side of the segment that you were in and just erupt.
Wait, they're on the other side of the segment?
Yeah.
I thought
I took down the...
There's 5 emitters on each side. You took down one side.
Oh, right. Oh, in that case, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have fired. I would have just run. Crap.
But what side am I on?
All of you are on the opposite. So there's now one energy field.
Right, where there used
on
to be two.
On one side of the energy field is all of you. And
so we've got a Jewel of the Fates thing going on here.
Kind of. There's no one on the other side. So you've got all of you on one side and a large metal door that you were heading towards anyway. And on the other side, you've got the three Zamorin that are heading towards you.
Oh, fuck them then, if they're behind a force field. Right, off we go, lads.
Legs it, Jack Sparrow down the tunnel, like, I'm not going to be Liam Neeson in this situation.
Pray for the best.
Dude, that guy achieved immortality in that scene.
The only good thing to come out of episode 1.
There were so many good quotes, Joan. Most of the film's... No, it's a bad film. But most of it's very quotable.
It is very quotable, but not necessarily very good.
It's my favourite prequel.
Anyway, you all start legging it down the corridor towards this large shut metal door.
Guys, do you think it's wise to leave them where they could raise the alarm if they haven't done so already?
Should we run back and just sort them out then?
I've got a constitution of 14. I reckon I can say 6 words or whatever. Well,
why you're running and how loud you're saying it is all I'm saying.
While Dumas is... While we're all running, actually, can I look over my shoulder and see if they've come through the barrier?
Yeah, you look over your shoulder at the moment that they arrive at the barrier, and the barrier seems to drop ahead of you.
Ah, shit. Yep, they're through the barrier, guys. God damn it.
Right, might as well finish them off, then.
I hate to ruin another picnic.
Something, something, already come through the barrier, something, something, finish them off joke.
Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
If you didn't already have it, that's an inspiration point right there.
Is that what it takes?
Damn, we're missing a trick.
It depends entirely on my mood, but for now, in this particular situation, given that it's taken us 2 hours to get to this point, yes, that is all it takes.
It takes exhaustion.
Can I turn to Jimmo and say, Jimmo, mate, on my signal, unleash hell. And then I just like frantically wave my hands in front of him.
Well, in that case, I'm going to roll myself round and poise my sniper rifle down the corridor, see if they follow us. Yeah. And, well, I'm just going to get my sniper rifle ready to shoot one of them.
All right. Well, everyone roll initiative then.
That is a 14 for HUD.
I've got some terrible... I rolled a 2 and a 1, but obviously the dex changes it. Just telling you how bad I am at rolling.
We never knew. It's never come up. So what did you get, Dora?
Dora got a 4 and Jimmy got a 3.
Okay.
It's a 19 for Rebook and a 16 for Todd.
Dumas got 18.
Okay, cool. First one to go is one of the Zamorin soldiers. What he's going to do, having seen HUD fire at them and the bullets bouncing off of the energy field, so he's going to move a full 40 feet towards you. So he is going to end up about 20 feet away from you. He's going to fire his rifle at you, HUD, twice. An 8 misses, I can tell you right now. And an 8 again misses. These shots just sort of ricochet off the rock around you. And next up is a Reboot gun.
Cool. So there's another soldier in the Centurion that haven't gone yet.
Yes.
Cool. I'm going to put the Hunter's Mark on the Centurion.
Yep.
And take a shot at him with the cryo pistol. With advantage because it's inactive yet. Oh. 21 to hit.
That'll hit.
So 10 cryo damage. And his speed slowed by 10 feet.
Okay.
And then second attack I'm going to do on the other Zamorin. Natural 20.
That will hit.
So 6 doubled to 12 damage.
12 damage.
Again, okay. With the cryo pistol, that's reduced speed by 10 feet as well.
Okay.
Is there any sort of cover in this corridor, or is it just a huge circular shaft?
Not really, no. This is a flat-out corridor. If only there was a garbage chute that you could dive into.
Right.
Dumas, now it's your go.
Okay. Well, it seems appropriate for Dumas to open a can of whoop-ass.
Nice.
Yep, I had a conveniently timed can there. I'm going to spend my inspiration from a very lazy force field joke, and I don't think I'll deserve this.
You know what? I don't even remember the joke.
No. But hey, I'll go with you. Go with your rule on that.
I don't take it back.
I'm going to just take my sniper rifle and I'm going to try and pop Centurion in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, so close. There's a 25.
That will hit. Shockingly. What damage did you roll with your sniper rifle?
I melted his face off, John.
I need a specific number.
31.
Holy shit!
Ow.
How did you reach that?
My nice laser sniper rifle and sneak attack.
Are you on a 3d6 now for sneak attack?
How did you get sneak attack for it?
Because you gave me inspiration, which gives me advantage, which gives me sneak attack.
Oh, shit, he got you there.
Shit.
Oh, shit, son.
Shit, son. And it's a laser sniper rifle.
It's radiant damage from a laser sniper.
God damn, I have no defense against that.
We're in space now, motherfucker.
Yeah, as a top tip for rogues, save your specialists, as I should say, save your inspiration for when you don't have sneak attack, because then you can force sneak attack.
Top tip for rogues, make really shit jokes so you keep getting inspiration for using that.
I'm never giving you inspiration again. That was horrible.
I mean, to be honest, I can usually find a way to sneak attack, just not on the first opening salvo of a combat.
Yeah, that's fair. Todd, it's now Todd's go.
So one of them's run up a bit closer to us, haven't they?
Yeah, one's about 20 feet away. Although still also about 15 foot off the ground.
Well, that's an issue for Todd. I don't think Prometheans can fly. So he's going to open fire with his auto rifle. First attack, 21 to hit.
That will hit.
Nice. 9 piercing damage. Second attack, ooh, better. 24 to hit.
That will also hit.
8 damage this time. Piercing again.
Okay. Todd takes a couple of salvos at it, and you can see, like, it takes a little bit of damage, but it doesn't seem that hurt by all of this going on. At this point, the one that has just been horribly hurt by Dumas chugs forward. I feel like chug is the best word. Like, it's moving forward, but it's significantly slowed by this cryo ammo that has been used by Rebook. So it stops about 30 feet away from all of you and levels its rifle at Dumas.
I probably deserve that.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to change the dice because that last one rolled 2 twice in a row. And that's how probability works. And let's lose twice. First one's a 25. Second one's a 19.
Obviously, I'm a rogue.
So they both hit. So still in flight, it lets loose with its rifle. You take 21 points of damage as it fires this laser rifle into you, and these beams of red light just strike home, and it burns.
Is that all you've got, Zamaron?
Is that all you can conjure?
God, it burns with a glaive and glaive.
I missed it. I missed the red. Oh, I did it wrong. I'm so sad.
How does now your go?
I am going to fire at the Centurion with my microcannon twice in the face. So the first one is a 16.
Just hits.
And that does 14 points of damage.
Okay.
Second one, that is another 16.
That also hits.
That does 9 points of damage.
It's flying forwards, and you do the first shot clips one of the wings, and you aim for one of the other ones, and it lowers itself and sort of lands with a thud on the floor, looking a little bit shredded, a little bit shattered, but still fairly imposing.
Hud just looks in the eye and goes, "Hi."
It doesn't react to that.
It's unsatisfying shooting at you people.
The second Zamaron now flies forward. Again, only able to move forward 30 feet, so still 30 feet away from you. And takes a couple of shots at Hud. So 17 and a 9.
17 will hit.
Okay.
Just.
Significantly less impressive. But it deals 12 damage.
Ooh, that ain't good.
As these shots just fire into you, and you feel this stinging in your shoulder as they collide. Like, it's not enough to limit you, but it definitely, it burns a little bit. Burns a little bit.
Oh God, it burns.
Next up, we have got Dora.
So, like, what is the Centurion wearing?
God, that was your character from the other game, John.
Okay, yeah, that was Brett, wasn't Brett?
Blake
Lightfist.
Dora just coughs and be like, something to do with that force field magic just messed with my vocal folds. I'm back now to being punched in the throat in the prison.
Looking at the Zamaron, it's quite hard to tell because this is a very unusual form for armor to be fitted on. So you can't quite tell what is just exoskeleton and what is attached armor.
So can I tell if there's anything that is either metallic or reinforced plastic or...
I guess roll an intelligence check.
Okay. Nope. 6.
You're not quite sure what the material of this armor is, looking at it.
Okay, in that case, one of the control units of the force field behind that Dumas fucked up, has it dropped off the wall or is it loose? Or?
Yeah, I'll see there's a bit that's loose.
I'd take a, like, 10 feet back. Let everybody be a wall for Dora.
Mm-hmm.
Classic Dora. I'm going to try and do a propelled shot towards the Centurion. So I choose an object within range that isn't being worn or carried, levitate it, and hurl the object in a straight line up to 90 feet in the direction I choose. It does 3d8, but I'm going to do this at level 2. So it's going to do 4d8 if I should hit. You need to do a dexterity saving throw. You need to be at 16.
So it's got a 23. So does it do any damage if it doesn't hit?
What? Oh, I hate this. I hate you. On a failed save, the object strikes the target, then falls to the floor. In either case, both object and the creature or solid surface take damage. Wait, what?
I think what it means is it keeps going in a straight line, and whatever it hits takes that damage 100%, but whatever you aim it at takes the save to dodge it. If they do successfully dodge it, it keeps going till it hits whatever's behind it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so basically it's going to hit the wall and deal 48 bludgeoning damage to the wall.
I mean, do you want me to roll for the wall at the end of the tunnel?
Not really. There's an explosion of sparks and there's a hole in the wall.
As my bonus action, I'd just like to, again, flap my arms at Jimmo and shout, "That's a bloody signal, mate!"
Now it's Jimmo's turn. The Centurion has landed and is on the ground. The two other soldiers are still aloft.
Yeah, he's going to get his grand blade out and run straight towards the Centurion and try and hit him with his grand blade. He's going to bonus action. Imbued strike means he gets advantage on attack rolls until the end of the current turn when he hits with weapon attacks. I deal additional weapon damage to his constitution modifier, which is filthy.
My goodness, imbued strike is powerful, isn't it?
So he's got an advantage on this attack. He rolled a 26 to hit.
That will hit.
So he rolls 2d6 plus 4 and then plus 3 for his constitution modifier. 14 damage. I don't know what Grand Blade is. I imagine it's slashing?
Yeah, it's not going to be magical in any way. Not magical, espery in any way. It's normal damage.
He is also going to action surge, and he's going to try and hit him again. He obviously gets advantage still because of the imbued strike, because it says on his turn.
Mm-hmm.
And he rolled a natural 20 anyway, so let's forget about the advantage roll.
Why don't you roll like this as Jeff?
Why not roll like this as Dora? 25 points of damage.
Gosh.
Bonus action on this other round is his action surge is to look back at Dora and just put a thumbs up.
And you can see, like, he charges forward and he swings his sword up, and you see, like, it kind of grazes along the exoskeleton or armor of the Zamorot at first, and you just see, like, it digs a deep score, but, like, kind of dragging a knife through whack. And then he swings it down the other way and cuts a gash across the other side. And at this point, you start to see the blood pouring forward from this wound. And you can see the Centurion is certainly looking weaker than I would like it to look at the end of the first turn of combat. At this point, the first Zamorin soldier, like, it flies further forward and lands next to Dumas. And as it does so, it's going to bring its blade down. God, that dice went so far away from my dice roller. I don't even know where it's gone. That's probably the best for you, Tom. So it rolled a 15.
Doesn't hit.
And the second attack rolls a 15. That's horribly disappointing. So it misses horribly, but it is stood next to you now, so that's something that's changed in terms of things that are going on. Rebook, it's now your go.
Cool. Well, I've got my Hunter's Mark on the Centurion, so I'm just going to keep blasting at him.
Mm-hmm.
So first attack with the Cryo Pistol is a 2, so a 10 altogether. I'm assuming that misses.
That does miss. That's true.
Second attack is a 14.
Also misses.
Good God. And the bonus with the Disruptor on the offhand. That's better. 21.
That will hit.
There we go. That's more like it. 10 necrotic damage.
As you hit it this time, some parts of the armor plating start to just dissolve as that shot hits. Dumas, it's now your go.
Okay, cool. I'm guessing no one else is stood by this one that stood by me. Is that right?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No one's specifically stood next to you.
In that case, I'm going to use my cunning action to disengage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to move sort of backwards and away in this one that's stood next to me.
So you duck your head and do a quick backwards roll. And actually, at seeing you do this, the Zamorin tries to swing its blade at you, but you are well under its arc of swing, so you pull yourself away quite easily.
Is Dora nearby?
I mean, she won't be far away. Bear in mind the size of the tunnel. Like, she's...
I'm behind everybody.
Okay.
She's within 10 or 15 feet of you.
I just don't want to be sort of stood on my own, so I'm just going to make my way over to within 5 feet of Hood.
Yep.
And then I'm going to take a shot at the Centurion with my sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you lay it on Hood's shoulder?
I'm not tall enough, I highly doubt.
You stick it on like a knee.
Fortunately, I'm strong enough to manage the recoil of a sniper rifle.
All right, fuck off.
I was more saying that from a rules perspective, because you have to have a... I would have disadvantage if I wasn't prone.
Yeah, yeah, like, I was just thinking Jefferson got that sniper rifle and could do nothing with it.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Pax could have shot that, and he never did.
Yeah, probably.
And that probably rubs it in more for you.
Disadvantage.
So I'll take a shot at the Centurion, which is a 16.
That will hit.
Excellent. So here comes the pain train again. Oh, he rolled a 1 on the first damage dice. Oh,
welcome to the wonderful world of high priority targets.
Yeah. So it's 20 radiant damage to the Centurion.
Oh
wait, no, I've still got another dice. I only rolled 2 of those. Oh,
fuck off, Tom.
22 damage to the Centurion.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. That is...
awesome.
It lands, and instantly Jimmo charges forward and slashes at it a couple of times. And then you take this shot. There's a part of the wall that's visible through its torso. It's still moving. It's still there and upright. But you can see the effort that it's putting into anything it does is incredibly difficult. Todd, it's now your go.
Fuck, what can you do?
Well, what are you going to do?
Is it the Centurion or a different one that's on the ground at the moment?
The Centurion.
Centurion.
The battered and bruised Centurion.
Hammer him!
I mean, so John, just to clarify, Todd's weapon here is a long blade, but it does bludgeoning damage. Is Todd, like, holding it the wrong way around, just, like, bashing with the hilt of it?
No, it must be slashing. That's got to be an issue with the core book.
I like the idea of Todd doing this incredibly wrong.
He's just got a really blunt sword.
It's the rusty, rusty sword, because he likes to watch them suffer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, Todd's going to go over and try and twat him with this rusty sword. First attack is a 15.
Misses.
Todd. But that's much better. That's a 23.
That will hit.
9 bludgeoning and or slashing damage.
Todd just swings this in and manages to get the sword into the hole that Dumas has created and just digs a gash in further. But just insanely, this creature is still capable and moving. At which point, it lifts one of its limbs and grabs onto the back of Todd's neck. And you've not seen them use this before, but it swings its stinger up and tries to stab Todd in the abdomen with its stinger.
Oof.
Which is a 24.
You know that hits, John.
I do know that hit. I created him. He is mine.
And you're going to end him too.
Or his betrayal. Come on, we need to see the arc.
It wasn't an arc. We had a big conversation where we said, is he Todd from Breaking Bad? No, he's Todd from Community. But then decided, no, he is Todd from Breaking Bad. And that's his arc.
That is his arc. That's 17 damage, and he needs... Oh, no, I did that wrong. That's 17 poison damage and 5 piercing damage, and he needs to make a constitution saving throw.
Woohoo! What's the save on that? Is it a 13? Because
it's a 14.
It's 14, yeah, so he does not make that. He's not well.
So he's also poisoned and paralyzed. At that point, oh fuck, it's been attacking less times than it should. At that point, it's going to swing its Kefket blade at Jimmo twice with a 19 and a 21.
They both hit.
Okay. So that's 33 damage to Jimmo.
Holy hell!
I mean, be glad you took this thing down when you have, like, it is clinging on to life. You can see there's just fluids pouring from most areas that you can see of it. It is unwell. There's a hole clear through it. Hud, it's now your go.
I am going to fire my first shot of my microcannon at the badly injured Centurion.
Yep.
Focus fire!
26 to hit.
That will hit, and you don't even need to roll damage.
Oh, I rolled really well.
All right, well, you can tell me how much you did then.
Got a 19 damage.
Okay, well, it was on one hit point, so you did 18 excessive damage. How would you like to have killed this thing, having just seen it paralyze Todd and do a significant amount of damage to Jimmo?
Right, so I go, no, Todd. Oh shit, Jimmo! And then I raise my microcannon. I sort of like absorb the recoil from the strike, and a bolt of force damage slams into the head of this thing, and it just explodes in a fountain of gore. And then I fire my second attack at one of the other Zamorun. Have ever either of them been hit yet?
Which one? The one that's...
Oh, the one that's nearest to me then.
Okay, cool.
That is a 17 to hit.
That's going to hit.
That's not as good. 6 points of damage.
Okay, you take a shot and it's still flying. It was 15 foot and you see it sort of dip a little bit as the shot clips a shoulder and goes through part of the wing, and it's starting to lose aero stability. I don't know what to call that. It's not flying as well anymore.
True integrity. She can't hold it, Captain.
I cannot do it, Captain. I'm giving her all she's got. At this point, the second Zamorun is going to move in and land and strike at Jimmo a couple of times. Oh, that one will hit. That's a 25. Second one is a 9, so probably won't.
9.
Ach, du Scheiße. So the hit that got him does 12 damage.
Oh, he is not looking good.
As it lands, and you can see it moves its head in, and the mandibles around its mouth start clicking together, and it makes this horrible clacking sound.
What did they hit him with? A rifle, or?
So what you've noticed is their weapons are basically the same thing. It's a rifle that has a blade attached, or a rifle that is essentially a blade, so it can fire or stab.
It's got like a bayonet, but like... not an extra fixed feature to it. It is just built into the rifle.
Yeah, more or less. Like a Lancer, but without the chainsaw element.
But can we expect that at some point?
That would be cooler.
That would be cooler.
I can see Hood charging him with a Lancer.
A Retro Lancer just had a bayonet at the end.
I'll allow it. Yeah, a Retro Lancer was just a rifle, let's be honest.
He had a bayonet as well.
Yeah, it's a rifle with a bayonet. Like, but they've been around since World War I. Yeah,
John's got a point there. That, yeah, was just a rifle. Chainsaw was what made the Lancer cool.
Yeah. And you know what? If one of the characters, specifically Dumas, decides to try and attach a chainsaw to a gun, I'm not going to disallow it. There'll be a check, but it'll be a light check because that's something that people have done before.
It'll take a lot of ingots.
Don't start it again, Tom, you son of a bitch.
It's going to be a hard roll, and you might fudge it and only get a little like a mini couple of spikes on the end of your chainsaw.
just a weed whacker at the end of your gun.
It's one of those. Do you remember those electric forks that spins people to get it?
Yeah, pot noodle fork.
When you get one of those razors that has like a trimmer on the other end, but attached to the end of the rifle.
It's made all of adamantine, but it's a spoon.
It can really damage shave.
You guys have evidence that I've given you enough excellent combat gear in this fight. So move on. Or I'll take it away. I can't do that. It's too late. Is it Dora's go now? It is. It's Dora's go.
And I'm right at the back. Can't really do much. I will, however, the one that just hit Jimmo, launch a side blast at its face.
Go ahead.
24.
That will hit.
And now I roll 2d10 because know your class.
That's the damage that you do. That's right.
Psychic damage of, ooh, that's pretty good, 16 psychic damage.
Ooh, delightful.
Delicious.
You did that. That happened, and it was powerful. This Zamorin landed, struck at Jimmo, and then taken a huge blast to its side. And you see it reeling a little bit to the right.
Now, let me just double check if I can do a bonus. No, they're both actions. I've put two thumbs up back at Jimmo.
Okay. Next up, it is Jimmo.
And this Zamorin is in striking range.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he misses. 13.
That does miss.
All Stackingtons. Okay. That's all he can do. Doesn't have an extra attack or anything, so.
Does he not?
Oh, he's got multi-attack. Bollocks!
Yeah, he's got multi-attack.
Why did I use... Anyway, I'm just not reading it properly. Apologies. He just rolled 11, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Okay.
But if you want to go back and retcon him attacking the Centurion twice again, we can do that.
The Centurion's already dead. I don't know what that retcon would do.
Basically wasted action surge. Don't drink in D&D, guys. Disclaimer from Esposito, the podcast.
It's all we do.
It's literally the only way to play D&D.
They learn from watching us.
Okay, don't be unintelligent and then drink and then play D&D.
I don't think anyone can make that kind of guarantee.
There were very specific circumstances right there. The first Zamorin is going to head towards Dumas and Hud.
Does that one go past Jimmo? Oh, it's in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the air. It doesn't go past Jimmo. So it's going to land and it's going to stab at Dumas with the first attack. That's a 18 to hit.
Which does that.
And it deals 12 damage. It's going to follow that sweep through and try and clip Hud in the calf.
Oh, you dickhead.
That'll hit. You know what? I feel guilty about that, but you scored so many critters against me that it's fine. 16 damage that it does to Hud as the blade just continues on this arc through Dumas's shoulder into Hud's calf.
Absolute batty crease.
I have no response to that.
Fucking no need for that.
Rebook, it's now your go.
Sorry, I'm still laughing at batty crease.
Don't encourage that.
Yeah, go on, encourage it, Tom.
I can't make that promise. I'm going to Hunter's Mark the Zamorin that just made open attack on Dumas.
Mm-hmm.
And then take a couple of shots of that. I'll probably miss them both based on my rolling tonight. That's not too bad. That's a 21 to hit with the first one.
That will hit.
So 11 damage with the first attack.
Yep.
And natural 20. Yes. Oh. Everything's coming up, Rebook. 24 damage with the second attack.
Nice.
So as this lands and swings its blade through Dumas and Hud, you take a shot and one just clips right through what would be this creature's knee and you see it buckle. And then you take another shot and it just goes straight through its skull and the creature just collapses to the side. The blade is still going through Hud's leg as it does this. So there's a little spray of blood, but it's very dramatic and exciting. Kind of sexy.
Cool off. I think I've used that one, but...
Nice.
It's always classic.
It will never get old.
Afraid my condition leaves me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Are you going to... So you've used your bonus action, right? Okay, so...
No, this was the Hunter's Mark, yeah.
Dumas, it's now your go.
Okay, the one near me has just been cloven in twain, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Frozen in twain.
So is the one left, is it?
One left that's engaged with Jimmo.
Excellent. Well, in that case, I guess it is... I have no way of actually healing myself. That's not my thing. So I will try and shrug off the wound, and I will fire upon that one who's attacking Jimmo.
Have a go.
Yeah, that's a one.
That misses, Tom.
Not really surprised it does. I'm just going to step away slightly, sort of behind Hood. Not behind, but further away so that I'm not the nearest target.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like I should do something because you got a natural one, so that's caused something on the...
It doesn't feel like your heart's in this crit fail.
Yeah, I don't really care. Like, you're going to win.
Wait. Does one of the bullets of the two that he made, or the two or three that he made, fall out of his pocket and he loses one of them?
No, actually, I've thought of something better. Tom, roll a d4.
That's in the box.
Roll it anyway.
What's in the box? What's in that box?
I'm so...
I don't know
what's coming here, but I feel as though it's going to piss him off.
It's a one.
Oh, okay. Roll damage.
What damage?
The damage for the rifle.
8.
Todd takes 8 points of damage.
I mean, that's fair if he was engaged.
Well, Todd's down / dead.
Todd's dead.
Todd's dead.
He killed Todd. He was a war hero.
Todd wasn't a war hero.
He's a war criminal.
Yeah. Fuck Todd.
Still counts as one.
Like, no one argues. That does still count as one. Yeah, you
did society a favour.
You take aim, but you're still off balance because of this huge amount of damage that the other Zamorin did before it got deaded by Rebook. And so as you take aim, the rifle sort of slides to the right and down, and you just hit Todd, which is worse because Todd's paralysed at this point by poison from the Zamorin Centurion. So he doesn't even really get to react. This is it's kind of dark. Todd just...
I feel like Rebook's partially responsible for this action as well now.
Well, I'm not saying... No, Rebook wasn't responsible. Like, it was the damage that Zamorin did.
In Dumas' defense, in the last 12 seconds, he's taken 33 points of damage.
Rebook thought Todd was a psychopath anyway and is not terribly messed up by this.
Much like a psychopath.
Let's be honest, no one was particularly attached to Todd, sorry. Hud, it's now your go.
Hud is...
I've still got a bonus action. Can I not hide sheepishly?
Yes, I think you can. Roll your stealth check. What did you get?
A 13 if I'm doing a stealth.
Plus, because you've still got your passive out trace.
Oh, 23 then, yeah.
So you managed to hide from everyone else here, but you can't hide from your own shame. Hard, it's now your go. That was all I wanted to do. That was it. That was what I wanted
to
say.
So I've just seen Todd's head like explode in an ocean of gore, and I've looked around and Dumas is gone.
Yeah.
So my first reaction is, what the hell? And then I use a bonus action to give myself a second wind. I get 15 health back. Then I'm going to fire twice. So I think the first one misses. That's a 14.
That will miss, yes.
The second one's a 19.
That hit.
Okay, that is 12 points of damage.
Okay. You fire and the first one just goes over its shoulder and the second one strikes into it. And again, you can see these little bits of wall on the opposite side of it as you've blown holes in its entire being. But it is still moving. And as it moves, it turns to Jimmo and it's just going to swing its blade at him twice.
I'm really not happy about this at all.
That's a 20 to hit. And a 16 to hit.
I can't believe this has happened. The second one misses.
The second one misses, so the first one hits.
Please roll low.
That's a 8 damage.
No! That's exactly what you needed. Does that mean he's right out dead, or can he do his saves? Let him do saves.
These are NPCs, guys.
Let him do saves, please! Wait, did he have 8? Hold on. Yeah, he had 8. You bastard.
He rolled a 4 and he had 4 to the hit.
Oh, why didn't I second wind him? I had a bonus action and he thumbs up Dora. That sounds weird. Hey, at least I didn't shoot our friends in the head.
We have no idea who did that.
I mean, the thing is, Dumas's rifle is a laser rifle, so it's probably quite... Like, just being honest, it was probably quite evident what happened there.
Yeah, you are all watching on as this last remaining Zamoran soldier brings its blade down and cuts across Jimmo's throat, and Jimmo just grabs at his throat, turns to Dora and just says, "Eggs," and then collapses.
Oh, God.
Four last words.
But Dora's go.
No, I'm not. I can't.
Honestly, this is the worst I've felt about killing an NPC.
It's the worst I've felt about an NPC dying in season one of 2 Esposito in general.
That's awful. I liked him, though.
It's my fault.
You could have killed any of the other characters and I wouldn't have blinked.
Well, we have.
Yeah, you killed Todd and I didn't blink.
Also, that's wise. I feel like I got shortchanged with Todd.
You probably could have operated Jimmo better than I did. Okay, how far away is this Zamoran from me?
Say about 30 feet.
Okay, I'm charging. I'm charging at him with my double-bladed sword, and I'm going to try and hit him. 23.
That will hit.
And I'm going to use the grav clip that's attached to it. So I'm about to do 4d8 damage.
Entirely unnecessary, but go for it.
Okay. Just killed Jimmo. I mean, it wasn't that great in the end. 17 points of damage.
I mean, I'm going to let you describe it. Bearing in mind it's a grav clip, so you can kind of add some gravity effects to this if you like.
You know, I'd like her just to run forward and use her animotor, almost float a little bit off the ground, and then bring the double-bladed sword down right on the top of the Zamoran, slicing all the way through and pushing both sides of it to the edges of the tunnel and just exploding it against the side of the tunnel as she hits the floor. And letting out this absolute primal scream, this wail of remorse.
Yeah, that happens. It's just a sound that echoes throughout the corridor.
I feel bad about everything.
It's just the sound that echoes through the tunnel.
That was a wail of remorse, by the way.
Okay.
Nobody cares for my crew anymore.
I am on no one's crew because no one
is on my crew.
Ladies and gentlemen, the antithesis of the seal of approval, the wail of remorse.
So this cry that Dora lets out.
Can I just go and then knock that inspiration back up?
How did that not get inspiration? But Tom did.
No, I've learned not to give Tom inspiration.
But I'm going to remember that, and I won't. I don't remember what he said before.
No, that last, that shriek that Dora lets out as she just clefts this Zamorin in twain just reverberates down the tunnel in both directions, followed by just a really crisp, clear silence.
So sad.
Don't leave this wail of desperation.
Please go out with me.
That's the way to operate.
I'm a really nice whale. Not the friend zone again.
Shut up, whale. It doesn't exist.
Zone.
All right, what are you doing? You're
apparently alienating our audience.
So we've nearly been suffocated. Two of our friends are dead. Well, one of our friends and Todd. And we're faced by a locked door.
Who's badly hurt?
Me.
Oh, God,
me.
How badly hurt are you both?
I've lost 27 hit points.
I've lost more than that. Maths.
Well, I've lost more than that.
I lost 38 hit points.
38?
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, I'm going to use Mend on Dumas.
I'm nearly down, essentially.
So I'm going to use that as a second level. So 14 hit points back.
Very nice.
And then as a first level slot, I'm going to make some emergency rations and pass them over to Hud. And Hud, eat these. They'll make you feel a bit better.
I eat them?
If you eat 10 of them, that's 10 hit points back.
Sweet. I eat 10.
Dora's still on the floor at this point. Just breathing heavily.
It was shocking how Todd's head just exploded after being stung by that wasp.
Allergies. Allergies. Very bad. Very bad allergies.
You need to keep my distance from those stingers. I mean...
Oh, Dora, you're okay. These rations are really good.
She just looks up at you, tears in her eyes. Are they bacon?
Hud thinks it's over a moment and chews thoughtfully. Bacon flavoured.
Aye. That'll do. That'll do.
That'll do, Jimmo. That'll do.
And then she starts to loot Jibbo and Todd.
I knew it was coming. That's why I didn't get invested. I knew it was coming.
And she just turns to the rest of them while she's doing it. She's like, what? It's what they would have wanted.
No.
They're bloody pirates, mate.
Pirates life for me.
Nothing else. I'm surprised you waited as long as you did.
What does the Zamorin Centurion have on him? Or her? I don't know. It's an insectoid species.
That is an excellent question. And roll an investigation.
Oh, dear. I've been very inconsistent with my rolling tonight. That's deciding the average. That's a 15.
Okay. Searching through, there's bits of armor plating that are remaining after the attack. There's the Kefket blade / rifle that it seems to have been using. And then you find, just within its person, I say person.
Well, there.
There's
a within.
Yeah, within is probably inaccurate as well. Like, it's just within one of the pouches on the harness that it's wearing. You find a small metal disc. On one side of it, there are these crystalline structures that come out of one side of it. They go out about an inch. But yeah, there's this metal disc with these crystalline structures that come out on one side of it. On the other side, it's just plain metal.
So, Xamarron floppy disk.
Does it get the lock on the door?
So, approaching the door...
Is there anywhere I can insert the disk on the door?
Looking at this door, there is nowhere to insert the disk. The door is large, fairly characterless. There's a panel that looks kind of glassy and grey. But if you reach out and touch it, the surface seems to give way and sort of wrap around your hand a little bit.
Sound promising. I don't know. Before we do anything else, I'm also going to second wind and try and get some hit points back.
Before you do that, does anybody, Dora just kind of walks up with all of Todd's and Jimmo's goods, whatever they may have.
Yeah, so searching Todd and Jimmo, there's about 80 cubes between them, and besides that, it's just auto rifles as the grand blade. There's nothing special about the gear that they're carrying.
She takes the 80 cubes and keeps them for herself. She doesn't tell the others, obviously. Then she kind of comes up, and she's a little bit... She's still got tears in her eyes. And she says, "Is anybody still hurt? Happy to bring out Salty the drone to help in any way, shape, or form."
I mean, I'm still a bit hurt, but not badly, if you want to save your spells.
Salty's pretty good. He can heal three people at once. There's a three-way action going on.
You know, just for that, no, I'm cool.
Are you sure he can get in places that you probably couldn't reach yourself?
No, I didn't finish the sentence. I'm okay.
Rebuka, do you want a bit of Salty action, or shall I can mend you?
I lean over and whisper to Dora and say, "I'm still mildly hurt, but how deep does she get?"
Salty's a he. I don't know if you're into that, but very deep reaching arms. I don't understand drones very well. This one's got a mind of its own. I patched it together, like, from different parts. You might get some kind of infection.
This sounds worse than what's going on. I'm fine.
Dumas, do you want a bit of this? Do you want some claw?
I've got to admit, I've not really understood a word you've said for the past 3 minutes.
Well... maybe that's because you're still in shock from shooting my crew member.
I was probably more in shock from the huge chunks taken out of my collarbone, but I take your point.
That's all right, don't worry about it, you know. Crew members are 10 a penny nowadays, so you're not to blame or anything. It's not like you just killed a human or a Promethean, whatever.
Look, I'm sorry for Todd. That were bad on my part, but I wasn't aiming for Todd. I'd just been stabbed. It were an accident. I am sorry.
Wait, you shot Todd?
No, it was his allergies.
Oh.
We've been over this. Rebook, it was his allergies.
Allergies, yes.
Anyway, I think it's about time we all know. Right here, right now. This dwarf is not who he says he is. This dwarf who just shot my crewmate, who I've known for many a year.
I'm sorry, I thought it was allergies.
You might want to back up there, Dora, because it seems to me like you're turning what was a genuine accident into something bigger here.
If I'm about to forgive you for what you've just done by accident, and that's fine, I understand what happened. I think it's about time, in this cave of misery, we all understand what we all are. I have been myself from the start. I'm a pirate, and I always will be. You need to admit what you are, my friend, and what I know you to be.
I'm not going to tell these honourable gentlemen that we've been fighting with for a couple of weeks now.
Right, you are, then let's move on.
That's how you're going to play it. That's how you're going to play it. But I know.
I've no idea what you're talking about, Dora.
I know what you are.
Thomas, if you're gay, we're cool with it. God. It's the current year.
It is whatever this year is. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Stop mixing up my gender again. God forbid. I mean, I know. I do swing both ways. It doesn't matter. But I'm still a lady.
I've no idea what she's talking about.
Dora, what are you talking about or alluding to or making up? Spill the beans. What's going on?
I just bloodshot stare into Dumas's eyes. You know, like Mel Gibson in Braveheart when he's on his horse and he's galloping in on all those people that betrayed him.
Exactly I know exactly the bit you mean, yeah.
Shitting on historical accuracy.
Yeah, exactly that. I go, I know. I just leave it at that and I walk off.
I think she's pissed. In both senses of the word.
I just turn to Reboog and just go, did you get any of that?
Absolutely not. I think Todd died of allergies, but there were implications that maybe Dumas shot him. And then I whisper over to Hurt and say, and if he did, I'm absolutely fine with that. I think Todd was a psychopath. No loss if he'd gone from our group.
I also whispered to Reboog, I mean, his eyes were a little close together, but I didn't know him well enough to make that kind of value judgment.
Oh, yeah, the sloping brow of a psychopath.
Luke, I'm only 5 feet away. I mean, I can see you chunnering back there.
Hud looks Dumas dead in the eye, and then turns back to Reboog and says, "I think he heard us."
Luke, Todd, we're an accident. I'd just been stabbed twice. I've lost a lot of blood. Thank you for that, Reboog. I appreciate the heal. It were a bad shot. I apologise. Once on purpose, but time for mourning ain't now, is it? We're in the middle of the enemy base. If you want to all sit around and have a peace circle, then that's fine. We can do that to assuage your consciences later, but for now, we need to get what we've done doing.
I mean, peace circle aside, I prefer if you walked in front from now on. Nothing personal, just, you know.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm a fucking cracking shot with this. I can nail a fucking butterfly from 300 yards.
Yeah, and you can nail someone on your team from 5 feet away. It's a beautiful thing.
I've just been fucking stabbed twice. What do you reckon from me?
I got stabbed. I didn't shoot you in the face.
Honestly. You're acting like he was a fucking saint.
Oh, he absolutely was not.
I think you're doing us wrong, Dumas. This is all coming from pure self-preservation.
I'm going to point out as well, like, Todd was the guy that helped you when you took the rose. He was the only guy that helped you.
I ain't it once on purpose, disembodied voice.